Kellen Saskin is the head professional here, PGA professional member for quite some time. You've been here, what'd you tell me, 7-8 years you've been here now?
Yes, almost 8 years.
And then you were at Tualatin Country Club before that, and a number of the professionals that we've talked to at the courses in the area have spent some time at Tualatin Country Club there. But going, and it's always fascinating to me, going from the private golf club membership, a very traditional country club, and Tualatin Country Club, been around for a long, long, long time, to a public facility that is run by a public entity. How much shock adjustment did you have to go through in maybe your first year to understand how things worked here at Chatham Glen?
Yes, very different. Going from a private club where you're dealing with 350, 400 members to going to a public course where you're dealing with different people every single day is quite the shocker for sure. But it's been fun.
And the course itself here, for people that haven't found it yet, one, what are you doing? But two, right here, it's just a little bit of a valley. I'm guessing there was a river or a creek that used to run through these areas that now, because you're constantly playing over kind of ravines and stuff. The front nine, I think driving, a little bit more challenging, a little bit more narrow. And then the back nine across the street, you've got some scoring holes where you can grip it and rip it in a little bit more forgiving fairways.
Yeah, we got ravines to cross for sure. 1, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. A lot of ravines, but if you can hit the ball 150 yards in the air fairly straight, you should be good off the tee and then take it from there.
There you go. Now, is there a signature hole that you think if you want to, you know, get a picture, or you're going to put something up in a brochure or pamphlet or a social media tweet, what hole do you think you want to get the picture on?
You know, number 5 is a pretty cool hole, par 3. Fairly lengthy, again, over a ravine, but it's a pretty spectacular hole. It's a tough hole, too.
Very tough hole. It's a shallow, narrow, wide green over the ravine. And then an uphill approach, so you gotta clear the stuff. Makes you club up. I learned that lesson. Club
yep.
up one more than you think, and it was a little breezy the day we were out here, and that's the biggest challenge, I think. But and this course serves you guys handle a lot of play of local high schools, and is George Fox still play here? Is this?
Yes.
Their course. So I know you guys, and part of being a public course is being available for high schools and the local college, those sorts of things. And so you can stretch it out to 68, almost 6,900 yards for some of those top young amateur players.
Yes, absolutely. Very tough from the tips. Course record out here is 65 from the black tees. So quite the challenge.
Now, what's your best score out here?
Oh, man. I've broken par once, probably.
That's about it. Kellen Saskin is our guest. Chehalem Glen, GLENN.com. Everything is up there. And we've talked before. I know there's been all sorts of discussion and plans about a big, giant clubhouse. You guys have the huge tent across the way for events. A great venue for tournaments. And the staff does a great job setting things up. With KPs and long drives and all of those things. But there has been long discussion about a new big, you know, clubhouse that can hold the events and the banquet rooms and those sorts of things. Where do things stand? Is it still just a concept, or is there an action plan now that's looking to take a second step?
Yeah, over the last year, we've started to get a little bit more serious about it. So we're about to put an RFP out for a feasibility study to see exactly what kind of clubhouse will be right for us. So we're getting close.
How much more, you know, you look kind of to the left from where we are, back towards the highway, there's kind of an open field. How much more land is on the on the footprint here that could be used, public land, obviously parks land, that you have to be able to develop, or would land acquisition have to be a part of it?
Land acquisition would not be a part of it, because out on the back nine side, back behind number 10 and 12 greens, that's all land already owned by Chehalem Park and Recreation District. So if a third nine is to come to fruition here in the next few years, that is where it would be, and we do have all the land we need to make that happen.
Well, as is the challenge with any public entity, the funding of such things is the biggest piece of it once you get all the parties to buy off on the plan to do it. So Parks and Rec, and is Chehalem Glen a specific, its own Parks and Rec division, or is it part of the county, or...
It is. It's its own entity, Chehalem Park and Recreation District. Yep.
And how do they get their? Is it property taxes within the district? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So we do have in district rates at the golf course. So if you're a resident of Chehalem Park and Recreation District, you do get a break on your greens fees, and then we have non-resident rates for those that are outside of the district.
That would be fun. We're talking with Kellen Saskin here, Chehalem Glen Golf Course, the head PGA professional out here. The course itself is in excellent. The greens were immaculate. And I was surprised, as dry as we have been. Now, we haven't been. We're going to get a heat wave here in the next few weeks. The first true blast of heat. We'll see. But as receptive as the greens are, that's been. I know a lot of courses at this point, because it's been so dry, they've kind of let them get firm and fast, and it's hard to hold approach shots, especially longer approach shots. But is that something, you know, the greens committee out here has really you can still fire at some pins?
Yeah, love being able to spin a ball back a little bit.
It's nice to know I can get some spin on a ball that I'm okay. Every once in a while, I can flush it and get it right in the grooves.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
Tournaments, if you're looking to do a group event out here, that is something that you guys do. Obviously, at this point in the calendar, maybe filling up if you want a prime spot for something in the summer. But I've always maintained September, October are amongst the prime golfing times here in the Portland area. But what all is involved with that? How far out in advance do you need to try to plan for something like that for a group?
Yeah, we've got a good number of good local events out here supporting the community. But yes, I would say you get into, well, May and June are great times for events if you're looking forward to 2026.
Yeah.
And as well, October. We still get a lot of great weather and have some available dates there as well.
Fantastic. And I know, you know, that's the other thing, public courses, obviously they're looking at, you know, costs. And so you have several hats that you wear here. I know you've got a great supportive staff as well. But you guys are kind of learn how to do everything here. So obviously giving you guys some advanced time to plan for things is key. So you talked about a third nine possibly in the works. Would it be kind of its own separate nine, or would it blend in? Would there be a major 18, or would it just be if you want to play 18, you're just picking the two nines you want to play? Have you given much thought to it, or you haven't worried about that until they actually say they're going to build it?
Yeah, we're still waiting to see. I couldn't say anything for certain at this point. I could see it being, you know, three nines and it being you play these two nine-hole tracks for an 18-hole course that day.
Gotcha. And then Do you know who the architect was who designed this original course layout?
Yeah, Bill Robinson.
Okay.
Same as OGA.
Gotcha. And so would the plan be for that group to come back, or would you look to possibly do something different?
He has since passed after designing this golf course. Mm-hmm. We have actually talked to an architect, John Steidel, and he did create some plans for us. So, yeah.
And to blend in kind of a very similar nature, or is there thoughts of maybe doing something slightly different to make it unique in its own?
It will be unique in its own from the 18 holes that we have. We did work pretty hard. I was part of that process a little bit where We made sure that there were tee boxes that didn't have any carries, forced carries, like we do have currently, just to make the tee shot a little bit friendlier for those that have trouble off the tee.
No question. And then going along there, obviously instruction available here with you and some of your other pros for families. And one of the great things, if you have not been down here, one of the best features, if you truly want to improve your game, and I wish I lived a lot closer, quite frankly, because I would be down there all the time. But tell everybody about the short practice area that you guys have. It's just kind of down the hill on the road around the corner.
Yeah, it's a par four away from the clubhouse, maybe a par five away from the clubhouse. And we got a great practice green down there, bunker. You can hit shots up to about 80 yards, which is really cool. Love taking my lessons down there for a short game lesson. Pretty much every single lesson I have, they say, man, I've never been down here before. I got to come practice here.
Oh, no question. For people that are, you know, that's where your scoring happens. I mean, you hit it as far as you can hit it, especially somebody my age at this point, and I've played enough golf where, okay, I've got, you know, if I make a good swing, I've got maybe 220, 225. That's all I got in the bag. Nothing I can do about it at this point, unless I go to the gym and work out and want to do that, and I'm 53 and I'm not.
No.
But scoring, being able to take shots from 125 in, 150 in, where you can start to really dial in control of the golf ball, the spin, being able for, you know, bogey golfers to be able to create it so you can control the ball so you're hitting flush shots. What's the best way to go about, if you were trying to design your own sort of practice thing, figuring out? I think the biggest thing is club selection and then how hard to swing. How much do I give it? 80%? Do I three-quarter it? Do I grab something and want to swing a full swing from like 80, 85 yards in?
Yeah, I see so many of my students, I ask them, what are you going to hit? What are you going to hit for this shot? You're 10 yards off the green, and they go grab their 60-degree wedge. It's like, nope, slow down. Let's take a look at this. Let's keep the ball as low as we can. Let's get it on the green and two-putter better. And that's where you really start gaining strokes.
And it's just a matter of grabbing a pitching wedge or a gap wedge or something like that, and then more like a putting stroke, or and you just got to go out. That's one where you've got to hit shots to, because it is more of a feel sort of thing. How hard your grip pressure is, how much, you know, you're really hitting at the ball versus just running the club into the ball.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. When you grab that 60-degree wedge and lift it high above your head, you're creating a whole bunch of speed with your wrists, and that's just, anything can happen at that point. Whereas you take a pitching wedge and you keep it nice and low and keep that club low, your speed is very controlled. Even if you don't catch it perfect, you're still going to have pretty close to the right speed coming through and get the ball on the green at least, and hopefully fairly close to the hole.
Well, as we mentioned, the rates so reasonable for a course in a facility that is as all-inclusive as Chehalem Glen is. You guys also have some deals. You have you have an annual pass. If, you know, you're looking versus, you know, trying to spend money to be a part of a, you know, country club or a private club, you know, it's an investment. But if you're going to play regularly, you do the math. It's going to work out that way. You've got some punch range cards, too. What are some of the great values for people to take advantage of?
Yeah, driving range, great spot to be. We have punch cards for that for small, medium, large buckets, but the annual pass, absolutely a steal, I would say.
Are those limited?
They are limited just on weekends after 10 o'clock for our annual pass holders. But man, you could play a lot of golf at a great rate.
Yeah, the start. So now the annual, I think it was May 1st is when that. So if somebody wanted to get one now, is it prorated to come around? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yep. Once we hit July, we prorate our annual pass.
How does it work? How does it play in the winter drainage? Like if you wanted to come out, you know, kind of November, December, January sometimes. Obviously, if it's snowing, it's not going to fly. But yeah. But how's the drainage in the winter?
Yeah, if you're hitting the fairway, you are totally fine. Just like everywhere around here, the roughs tend to get a little bit soggy. But tees, fairways, greens, all great in the winter. If it's sunny, we have a lot of play still.
Fantastic Kellen Saskin, the head PGA professional here at Chehalem Glen. Thank you so much for having us out. Thanks for having me out to play the other week. And I am sure once my schedule lightens up, I'll be out probably a lot in September and October. We'll come take advantage of things. So appreciate it very much. Again, Chehalem Glen, GLENN.com. All the information if you're interested in instruction. Oh, we didn't even mention the putting course that's over by the driving range. A nice little well-designed putting course. And it's just $5. So if you want to bring the kids out and kind of introduce them to the game, gorgeous over there to get involved in as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for coming out.